The second chapter, the first verse. Scripture reads us, then we turned back and set out toward the wilderness along the route to the Red Sea, as the Lord had directed me. For a long time, we made our way around the hill country of Seir. Then the Lord said to me, you have made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn north. Now turn north. My brothers and my sisters, I ask that you would join me in a word of prayer as we share on the sermon subject, March Madness. March Madness. Let us look to the Lord. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We're grateful. God, you send the preacher, send the Holy Ghost. Save, heal, deliver, set the captive free. And we thank you, Jesus, that we do believe the best is yet to come. Have your way, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I don't know about you all, but this is one of my more favorite times of the year. It's one of my more favorite times of the year because no matter what day, usually, or certain days of the week, no matter where I turn on TV, I can see a basketball game. See a basketball game because they have this basketball tournament, the NCAA basketball tournament, which we have coined as what? March Madness. And in March Madness, what you will see is you will see some of the best teams. You will see some of the teams that don't seem to be the best to get a shot to be the best. But you'll watch all of these teams competing in this winner-take-all kind of a thing that ends up with the Final Four and ends up with the winner being the national champions. And we call it March Madness. It's a tournament. It's a tournament in which you have all these folks playing, all these teams playing. And I get caught up around the fact that this term of March Madness, not just because of that term, but it's always interesting to me because March Madness often falls within the Lenten season. And the Lenten season is really us trying to navigate our ways out of some of our own March Madness. The truth be told, if you look, and many folks will often say that the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over while trying to expect a different result. That you're expecting things to get better, but you keep doing the same old thing. You're expecting your relationship life to get better, but you keep dealing with the same kind of people. You're expecting your finances to get better, but you keep doing the same old frivolous spending. You expect that the region to get better, but you keep driving really aggressively. That you expect things to get better, but you keep doing the same old thing. But the truth be told is that if you're going to actually shift something, you've got to do something to shift something. Amen, somebody? And it's got to be something different. Is there anybody in the house that can admit that sometimes you found yourself in a rut, you found yourself circling the same area, you found yourself going through the same thing, you found yourself having to learn the same lesson after lesson after lesson after lesson and still end up in the same bad situation? Anybody here honest enough to admit that sometimes you find yourself in a March Madness? Oh, but that's the reason for the Lenten season. The Lenten season is trying to break up some stuff. The Lenten season, when we fast, and when we pray, it's trying to get us to shift some things on the inside, trying to get us to get some discipline in our lives so that we can shift some things, turn some stuff around so that we don't have to keep falling in the same cycles and the same cycles and the same cycles because, and I love the way the songwriter said it, the devil learns from your mistakes even if you don't. Amen, somebody? And that's why you keep living in cycles. Lord, have mercy, because you're going through what? March Madness. Oh, but the truth be told, if we look at the scripture, what we will find is the children of Israel going through their own March Madness. That can you picture what it feels like to be marching in the wilderness, marching in the wilderness for 40 years on a trip that should have taken 11 days? And the truth be told, that for them to get to where they needed to go to, it was an 11-day trip, but it took them 40 years marching and marching and marching to still. And the Bible says that God put them and set them out toward the wilderness along the route in the Red Sea, as the Lord had directed me. For a long time, we made the way around the hill country of Seir. In other words, that they spent all this time, but there came a point along the journey in which God said that you've been walking around this mountain long enough, that you've been walking through this hill country long enough, that it's time to end your March Madness. Is somebody in the house today that you want God to say it's time to shift, it's time to go a different direction, it's time to turn some things around? Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready to go in a different direction. One of the first things I believe that you can understand in this March Madness, and excuse me, but I'm going to get this out quick, is you've got to learn to run the play. Turn to your neighbor and say, run the play. There's a thing that I learned, and if you look at the children of Israel, their biggest mistake and the reason they're wandering in the wilderness is because God got them out of Egypt. God got them out of captivity. God took them to the promised land. God had them on the verge of the promised land, and they talked themselves out of the blessing God had for them. That God wanted them to do one thing, but they complained about it, wanted to do another thing, and ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. I learned a lesson years ago, Reverend Bill, coming up, there used to be a basketball team that I helped coach at the Tucker Road Rec. Amen, somebody. Tucker Road Rec, there was a basketball team I coached. And on that basketball team, we had one play. Amen, somebody. Everybody on that team understood that play. I was the coach. I just started college. My brother was in high school. As a matter of fact, I was a couple years into college. Reverend Bill was about a junior at Friendly Senior High School. And in this rec ball league, there was one play, and the play was get the ball to my brother. Amen, somebody. Everybody who was on that team knew this play was what? Pass the ball to my brother. My brother, he was like a man child. He was like a man among boys. Amen, somebody. That if you got it to him in the post, he was either going to make it, he was either going to get fouled, or he was going to find the open person to kick it out to. And so we had one play. What was the play? Get the ball to him. Amen, somebody. That's why he loves me so much. Amen, somebody. I've been taking care of him a long, long time. Get the ball to my brother. I remember this one brother caught in the game. I won't call out his name. I still remember his name. Amen, somebody. I won't call out his name. He got in the game, and he thought he had handles, and he thought that he could do it. And he hopped in the game, and he did all this and did all that and did all this and did all that and went and tried to shoot the shot and missed the shot. And as soon as the play ended, get that boy out the game. Get over here. What was the play? Get the ball to your brother. What did you do? I drove and tried to shoot. That's why you're sitting down. Amen. Get the ball. What? To my brother. What they didn't understand was that I understood that my brother was like the James Harden of Tucker Road Rec. Amen, somebody. That if you look at the Houston Rockets right now, what's the one play? Get the ball to James Harden. Amen, somebody. He'll do what he do. And you're going to get your points, but you're going to get your points off of him. Amen, somebody. They double down on him. Then he's going to kick it out to you. So he's going to get assists. You're going to score, but he's going to score about 50, 60 a night. Amen, somebody. My brother was going to get an honest 40 every night. Amen, somebody. But we were going to win the game, and everybody else was actually going to get more points than they would have gotten before if they had just followed the play. Amen, somebody. Somebody, your problem is you like the children of Israel. You don't want to follow the play. That God has given you the play, but you want to do it your way. You want to talk the way you want to talk, walk the way you want to walk, go where you want to go instead of following the play. Well, somebody say, well, God don't tell me to play, Reverend. God's been quiet to me. God don't talk to me. How you going to tell me God don't talk to me? When's the last time you read the Bible? Amen, somebody. That's when God gave you to play, but you don't even want to read the playbook to be able to understand what God is trying to do in your life. But if you want to stop being in the wilderness you're in, you've got to get in the playbook and start to follow the play. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, follow the play. You got to follow the play. The second thing you've got to do is you got to stay in the game. Turn to somebody and tell them, stay in the game. Stay. One of the challenges for too many of us is that we ask for a sub too quick. Amen, somebody. I remember when I was playing AAU, the coach put me in. I was going to stay in. I didn't care how tired I was. He was going to have to pull me out. Amen, somebody. He was going to have to pull me out because I wasn't calling for no sub. Amen, somebody. Because I didn't know the next time I was getting up in there, I was going to play that joker as long as I could. Too many of y'all are asking for a sub. Lord, have mercy. Too many of y'all are asking for a Christian sub. God, I don't want to go through this situation, so can I get a sub? God, I don't want to go through this challenge, so can I get a sub? God, I don't want to face this mountain, so can I get a sub? God, I don't want to deal with this challenge, so can I get a sub? God, I don't want to deal with this adversity, can I get a sub? The challenge for many of us is that we're praying the wrong prayer. You keep praying for God to get you up out of the situation instead of God to get you through the situation. You want God to be some kind of a Holy Ghost Star Trek and beam you up, Scotty. Ain't no daggone beam you up, Scotty. The thing is, God, get me through to the other side. And God, if you'll get me through, then I've got what it takes to do what I've got to do on the other side. Don't you understand that in the midst of what you're going through, that you're going through it, so you've got the strength to do what God has for you on the other side of the journey, that you can't be able to handle the promised land if you can't understand how to walk in the wilderness. But I've come by to talk to somebody today and say, the interesting thing, Reverend Bill, the interesting thing about this scripture, what gets me is they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, but God was the one giving them directions. Let's look at the scripture. It wasn't that they got lost. It wasn't that their ways was messing up. It wasn't that their Google Maps had thrown them off. It wasn't that they had messed up with their directions. It wasn't that, because the Bible says that the whole journey, that God would present himself in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And they would follow God's directions, Lord have mercy, and still wandering. And anybody here, you feel frustrated because you've been trying to do the best you can by God, and you're still in the wilderness? Anybody here honest enough to admit, I'm trying to live the best that I can for all of my life, and still things seem to fall apart all around me, and I feel like I'm in the wilderness? But stay in the game, because God's got a purpose in the wilderness. How do you know God's got a purpose in the wilderness? Because you're still standing. Because if you look at the generation that made it through the wilderness, a whole other generation fell off, but they were the generation that was supposed to get to the promised land. Is there anybody here that when you look back over your life, you realize there were things that other folks fell off on, that you survived, that you made it, not because you're smarter, not because you're better, but somehow God's grace kept you in the midst of your foolishness, in the midst of your issues, in the midst of your challenges, that God helped you, that millions didn't make it, but you one of the ones that did. You got to stay in the game. Say, baby, I didn't make it this far to give up now. Through many dangers, thorns and snares, I have already come. Was grace that brought me safe this far. Somebody need to give God glory for grace. Somebody need to say, thank you, God, for grace. Somebody need to say, thank you, God, for helping me. Thank you, God, for bringing me through. I'm not everything I want to be, but God, you brought me this far. But the third thing that I'm about of here is you've got to understand one turn is all it takes. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's my turn. It's my turn. One turn is all it takes. Well, when I look at this scripture, what gets me about this scripture, it says, and then the Lord said to me, you have made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn north. Somebody God sent me by to tell you one word. Turn. You've been going through this cycle long enough. And the word of the Lord is now turned north. That God is saying, I know you've been going through it. But while you've been going through it, you've been trying to be as faithful as you can. And I've been watching you. And I've had to let some folks fall out your life while you've been going through it. And I've had to let you deal with some challenges while you've been going through it. And some folks who were there in the beginning of your journey ain't there no more. Folks that loved you and you loved them, but they weren't right for where you're going. But now you're ready, baby. And now it's your turn. Turn north. Turn to somebody and say, it's my turn. It's my turn to go in a different direction. It's my turn to head towards my promised land. It's my turn to head to a healthy relationship. It's my turn to head to financial responsibility. It's my turn for my children to be everything God called them to be. It's my turn to make the honor roll. It's my turn to get the promotion. I wish I had somebody up in here that would high five your neighbor and say, baby, it's my turn. And if it's my turn, I believe it's your turn too. Will you walk on the journey with me? That we in this thing together, that God's got some things, some places for us to go, a destiny to pursue. You've been walking in this cycle, in this wilderness, long enough. But baby, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. Turn to somebody, it's morning time. It's morning time. My weeping days are over. It's time for a turn. I dare somebody just turn right where you are. I dare somebody just turn around right. It's my time for a turnaround. It's my time to go in a new direction. It's my time. I dare somebody to step out your row and just start walking in a new direction. It's my time to go in a new direction. Baby, it's time. It's time. I wish I had somebody give God his time.
Won't you stand all over the church, all that are able?